We heard in the gospel today a parable that tells the story of the Old Testament. You know, if you've read your Bible, how the leaders that the Lord has sent to His people were often persecuted, but also how many of those leaders did not do their job. If we think of the great Isaiah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, great prophets, Moses, sent by God, who were to lead the people, but were also rejected by the people, often even martyred for the faith. But there were others that the Lord put in power over the people. Saul, Solomon, many kings who did horrible things to the vineyard that they had been given charge of. Jesus tells this parable about a owner of a vineyard. This is a playoff of Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah told a parable. How Yahweh, the Lord, had picked a choice vine and planted it. Now, how do you do this? Today, if you want to plant a vineyard, what do? You go to Home Depot and you pick out what type of grapes from France or Italy or wherever they're from and various... Well, in the old world, when you wanted to plant a vineyard, you either got vine that was nice and sweet grapes from a neighbor or somebody else. You brought it from another region. Or you went into the ravines, into the ditches, and you found wild grapes growing. They grow wild here. They grow wild all over the United States, especially on the East Coast. And you go through the ditches and find, and you pick, and you find a grape that is good size and sweet. Most of the grapes you will find, wild grapes, are very sour and very small. And so when you find one that is sweet and a decent size, you think, this is what I will plant my vineyard with. So you whack off some branches from that vine, and then you stick them in the ground and water them, and they root and eventually produce a live plant. You have a whole vineyard of this. So out of all of the wild grapes, you found one that was sweet and you planted it. And in this story, in the parable, Yahweh has picked Israel from among the brambles, from all of the wild grapes. He picked one that was sweet and planted it. And He made a whole vineyard out of it. And He cared for it. And He prepared a wine press so that when it gave its grapes and had sweet grapes, He would have nice wine. That is, the vineyard would produce its fruit. But then, the parable says, this is in the prophet Isaiah, that when the Lord went to harvest His grapes, His vineyard had produced sour grapes, not sweet grapes. So, after all of this work of taking this vine from among the brambles, from among all the wild vines, and caring for it, and nurturing it, and protecting it, and expecting it to produce fruit, it produced nothing but the same kind of grapes that the wild grapes were producing in the ravines and ditches, after all of that work. So, Isaiah says, what will the Lord do with His vineyard? He will tear down the walls and the hedges, and let the wild animals destroy it. And that, of course, is a prophecy of what happens in the history of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. God chose them. He took them out of Egypt. He brought them to Mount Sinai. He gave them His special law. He taught them that there was only one true God. And their job was then to go out among the nations and teach the nations the truth of the one true God, so that all of the nations could be brought into the vineyard of the Lord. But instead of doing their job, they produced the fruit of the nations. They began to worship pagan gods themselves. The temple in Jerusalem, you probably know, during the time of Manasseh and the other later wicked kings, was a pantheon. The temple Solomon had built for the Lord had become filled with statuary of pagan gods. And the people worshiping them were the Levitical priests, the kings, and the people in Jerusalem. And so he says, what shall I do with my vineyard? It has produced the same grapes that the wild grapes are producing. I will tear down the walls and let the animals devour it. And that's what happened. The Babylonians came and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. But then the Lord promised he would rebuild. He would rebuild Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem, a new temple. Jesus then told the parable we heard today in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has come to Jerusalem, and he has found it fruitless. As you read the stories here in Matthew's Gospel, you hear about a fig tree that has no fruit. You hear about a parable that is about people who are not giving the fruit from the vineyard. And he tells us in this parable about the recent history of the people of Israel. How the Lord, the landowner, had sent to this vineyard he had planted people to collect the fruit. But those who were the tenant farmers who were in charge of the vineyard did not want to give the fruit. And so they killed the servants of the master. This is a reference to the persecution, again, of the prophets that the Lord sent to his people. Persecuted and often put to death. And then the master of the field says, I know, I will send my son. He represents me. Surely they will respect him. And of course, when they saw the son, they killed him. They threw him outside the vineyard. This is a prophecy of what's coming only in a few chapters in Matthew's Gospel. When they have rejected the son, they rejected all of the servants before, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and now he has sent his own son, and they have rejected him, and he will be killed, tossed outside of the vineyard. As you know, he will die outside of Jerusalem. Back then, Jerusalem. Today, the walls of Jerusalem are around the place where he died. And then Jesus tells them, this is a parable about you. This is a parable about the religious authorities of the time and how they had not done their job. And the vineyard had not produced its fruit. Now, we could sit in judgment today and look back and see, well, those wicked Jews and what they did with what they had. All that the Lord had given them. And look what they did. They were not much like the pagans around them. Sometimes, as the Lord says through the prophets, they were more evil than the pagan nations around them. Even though they had received the word of God at Mount Sinai. Again, we can look at that and say, it's inconceivable what they've done with all they were given and how little they produced. But then, all of these parables, the Word of God is often like a mirror for us. Maybe we can look at this parable also in our own life. I think we could look at this parable even today with the headlines. I don't have a TV, but occasionally people tell me what's going on about some of the nonsense going on in the church today. In the Roman Catholic Church with the cardinals and the bishops. Inconceivable. These men should be put to death. I don't know your opinion of the death penalty, but I think in this case this is certainly warranted. These are men who were put in charge of the vineyard. And this is what they did. This is what they did with the vines. How could we expect the vines to produce fruit? However, we also can look at this parable in light of our own lives. We all have a vineyard, don't we? Our family. Isn't our family like a vineyard? Are we in charge of a family? We have a responsibility. The parents among us. Are we working to make our vineyard fruitful for the Lord? Or is our vineyard producing the same fruit as the pagan family next door? Are my children any different than the Buddhist family next door? Are we finding ourselves in the same position as Israel of old? It is often hard to distinguish a Christian today from a non-Christian in the way they live, the movies they watch, the way their house is decorated, the music they listen to, the way their children act. And we will be held accountable for this. The Lord says this today in the parable. And so, anyone who has had a garden knows that when you let the garden go for a while, it's a mess. Gophers come in, moles come in, you've got pests in there, you've got dead plants, weeds growing everywhere. It's a lot of work to clean that place up. But any of you who have had a garden know that it can be done. You just have to do it. You have to get down on your hands and knees and pull those weeds. You have to get in there and cut out the dead branches. You have to get in there and put a mole trap in, a gopher trap. You have to clean the place up. And with a lot of work, you can restore the garden to what it was supposed to be. And so we can today think, have I caused my vineyard that the Lord has put me in charge of, that is the people around me, the workplace, the neighborhood, most importantly my family, have I been a good steward, a good tenant farmer, a good vine dresser of this vineyard the Lord has given me? Has it produced fruit? And if not, it's not too late. But as you know, the longer you wait with that garden or that vineyard to clean it up, the harder and more difficult it is, and the less chance that it will produce fruit before the winter comes. And so, let us today make a change in our lives. A change in our own lives personally, our families, the way we live our lives with our families, in our neighborhood, our workplace, so that the vineyard the Lord has given each one of us will be able to bear fruit for the Lord. How do I do that? How am I going to do that? Well, I can tell you one very easy way. If you want to change your life today, you don't want to, well, nothing I can do about that. But if you would like to change your life, if you say, hey, you know what? I think maybe I could have done a little better with my vineyard. I think I'd like to start pulling some weeds and clean the place up. How do I go about doing that? We have to start with ourselves. How do we do that? First of all, I recommend to you a very simple thing. If I told you you could get healthy in 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes of exercise a day, you can lose all the weight you want, your blood pressure would go down, you could get off all your blood pressure medications, your pain medications, in 10 minutes a day. The next time you go to the doctor in a few months, the doctor will say, wow, you are the textbook case of perfect health. Can you just stay here in my doctor's office for a few minutes? And while others come in, I'm going to have you tell them how you changed your life. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, what about our spiritual life? How can we do that? I can tell you one simple way to do that. Open up the Holy Scriptures. The Bible, Abuna, it's very thick. It's a thick book. I know. You don't have to read the whole thing. Start with the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is relatively easy to understand. But the Gospel of John is also, as many have said, is like a little pool that children can play in. and deep enough to drown elephants. You can read the Gospel of John every day for the rest of your life. And on your deathbed, and I come see you, what are you reading? The Gospel of John. Haven't you read this? I've read it 3,000 times. Why are you reading it again? Because every time I read it, I see something new. I recommend you start with the Gospel of John. 22 chapters. Each chapter will take you 5 to 10 minutes to read. Open up your Bible today when you go home. Open up your Bible when you go home. If you don't have one, we have them in the hall. We have them in English. We have them in Arabic. Open up your Bible when you go home and read the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Chapter 1. It'll take you 5 to 10 minutes. Probably 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's it. And then you know what you do tomorrow when you wake up in the morning? You read chapter 2. 5 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. Chapter 3 the next day. Chapter 4. If you miss a day, that's okay. You come back the next day and read the next chapter. And within about 22 to 23, 24 days, depending on how many days you miss, you will have read through the entire Gospel of John. It doesn't take a lot of work. Just a little bit every day. And I promise you, by the time you finish that little exercise of 22 days, your life will have changed. The question is, we have to ask, do I want my life changed? Do I want to be like one of those vines in the ditch producing sour grapes, or like a sweet vine? For the Lord has picked each and every one of you. The Lord has picked and chosen each and every one of you. He's picked every one of us from among the brambles to produce sweet wine, so that all of the nations might come into the vineyard of the Lord. Let us glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father, His all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and unto age of ages. Amen.